May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384.
Thank you. may we be helped to read from the holy and inspired Word of God in the Gospel according to Luke and the 4th chapter. The Gospel according to Luke, reading chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her, and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose, and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed, and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Amen. Now may the Lord help us to pray. O thou great and exalted and everlasting God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we beseech thee that by thy mercies thou wouldest grant us thy spirit of grace and of supplications, and cause us true access unto the throne of heavenly grace, there to obtain mercy, and to find grace to help in time of need. We desire to come even into thy courts by that new and living way, and by the Blessed One who is the way, the truth, and the life, even the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, this great prophet of whom we have read, the Son of God, whose words we have read, and the Redeemer of his dear people, the one who came to this earth, the one who condescended in mercy to become man, that he might be their elder brother, and their great high priest, and their kinsman redeemer. And now we, in our low estate, we feeling our sinnership, feeling our mortality, feeling, as did the psalmist, that even our soul cleaveth unto the dust. Now we would look for that quickening. We would look for that access, for that being raised up in him, and to be conducted even unto the courts of bliss, through the one who, as his people's forerunner, hath gone before them, and hath gone to prepare a place for them, that where he is, there they may be also. But, O gracious God, we need his mercy, and we need to come by him, by his merits, the merits of his shed blood, by his righteousness. And at times we confess we do have these desires, even to be raised in newness of life, and to know that there is a portion and a lot and an inheritance for the people of God, and to hope that we are among them, and thus to have an interest in heaven itself, and to have treasure laid up there, and to have those hopes of eternal life, even in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so we beseech thee to hear us for his dear name's sake, and to send of thy Spirit to indite those petitions in our hearts, those things that are according to thy will, that we would make our desires also. We would seek to thank thee for thy keeping care, for thy preserving throughout the days of another week, for help granted, that mercy of a God who is with his people in the waters and in the rivers and in the flames of affliction, and that everlasting God, yea, the eternal God, our refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms. And truly some of us have known it, even in these past days. We would ascribe our continuance unto thee, thou who hast upheld us, thou who hast supported us, thou who hast stood with us in times of trouble. And we bless thee that our brief lives have thus continued, even to this Lord's day, and that thou hast added mercy to mercy, and that thou hast brought our feet within this house of prayer. And we trust granted us a desire to be found with thy people, to be found in that place where thy word is opened, where it is read, and where thy gospel is preached. And oh, that it might be for our sustenance, that it might be for our encouragement, that it might be for the comforting of needy souls. And we bless thee, gracious God, that in this gospel and in this word of life there is hope for needy sinners. There is that way of salvation set forth, and such as know their depravity, such as know something of the deceitfulness of their own hearts, such as have been taught of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, they will know their need of such a gospel, need of such a kind and merciful provision made by a gracious God and Saviour. And we desire that thou wilt again teach us of these things, that thy truth might be made precious to us, and that thy word might be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Even thy word which speaketh of a precious Saviour, God in our nature, God manifest in the flesh. And this blessed man of whom we have read, even Jesus of Nazareth, one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but oh, the condescending mercy, oh, the love and the pity toward his people, that he should so stoop to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and yet without sin, that he should even speak of a body which thou hadst prepared him, that he should come, yea, even as the babe of Bethlehem, that he should come in poverty and misery, but that he should come to raise his people and to grant unto them eternal life. We would think of one who lived and who suffered, who bled and who died, that he might make atonement for his people's sins. And who could have imagined such things? Who could have schemed such a plan of redemption? But in the eternal mind of the Almighty God, a people whom thou didst purpose to redeem, those of Adam's lost race, whom thou didst foreordain to be joined unto Christ, and those whom thou wouldest call thy sheep, those whom thou wouldest save for thine own name's sake. And we bless thee for such a Saviour, who not only died, who not only laid down his life for the sheep, but who took it up again and was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now he is called the Good Shepherd, and his sheep desire to follow him, and they hear his voice, and they know the shepherd. And we hope to be found among those sheep, and among those who desire to be with him, those who desire to see his face, and to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And O grant us, we beseech thee, even this mercy, to be among those who love his appearing, those who desire that great day when he shall return in glory, and that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we bless thee that he yet feedeth his sheep, through his sent servants, through those under-shepherds, through the pastors and teachers that he hath given to the church. And our prayer is that it might be so even this day, that there might be a feeding of the flocks of God. Many congregations, many churches, many small causes of truth. We think of those in our own land, and some overseas also, known and beloved to us. But oh, that thou wouldest be in the midst, that thou wouldest grant of thy Holy Spirit, that there might be some sweet teaching from thy word of truth, and how the flocks need to be fed. We know it in the things of nature, but in the things of the spiritual realm also, that feeding of the soul. And we pray that thou wilt make thy flocks to lie down in green pastures, that thou wilt lead them beside the still waters, that there might be that restoring of soul and a leading in the paths of righteousness for thine own name's sake. And, O gracious Lord, help those who stand in thy name, who help those who speak to thy dear people. May they be granted that word as of thee. And may it be true of thy dear people gathered in thy courts this day, that they shall see no man save Jesus only. We desire thy mercies, thy grace, thine upholding hand. Know that thou wouldest grant comfort, especially to those who mourn, the recently bereaved. We desire that thou wouldest manifest thyself as the God of the fatherless and of the widow. We think of this dear church and congregation, and the hard things that thou hast shown them in recent days, and these things that come upon them from time to time, and that come upon us all. But, O, we beseech thee, be a God unto them even in these times, and grant that thine almighty arm might be their sufficiency, that thou wilt prove thyself to be the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And as we think of those gathered here, doubtless each in their various state and case, many with burdens and trials, many with those things that occupy the mind, we pray that thou wilt minister to each. We think of others absent from us this day, that thou wilt draw nigh unto such, that thou wilt bless them from thy word, however they may hear it, that there might be that knowledge of the Lord Jesus as the head of his church, and the one who doth gather his lamb, the one who doth feed his sheep, and the one who hath an eye to their safety and their well-being. We desire that there might be a filling. Yea, it is a mercy if those are found who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But where that is the case, then we long for that blessed fulfilment, that they shall be filled. We desire that thou wilt grant that sense of need, the hungerings and the thirstings, after the bread of life, after the water of life. And then none shall satisfy but Christ. None shall be able to meet that need but the one who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And none shall satisfy the longing soul, except that one who is the bridegroom of his dear people, and the one who is their friend and elder brother. So that the Lord Jesus Christ might be made precious, that he might be held high in our esteem, that he might be exalted and extolled and be very high. O, cause us each in thy mercy to look unto him, even this day. And may it be esteemed a good day in the courts of the Lord. For we would seek these mercies, and the pardon and cleansing of our every sin and iniquity, even through his great and worthy name, that blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 155. The fountain of Christ, assist me to sing. The blood of our priest, our crucified King, which perfectly cleanses from sin and from filth, and richly dispenses salvation and health. Hymn 155.
Thank you.
In mercy, be pleased to teach us from the truth of his own holy word. As we return to the chapter that we read earlier, the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and what we find written in the 32nd verse of that chapter. Luke chapter 4. And verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. We have read much in this chapter concerning the word or words of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. It seems very apt that the chapter begins, more or less, with an account of the temptation in the wilderness, where we see the word of the Lord Jesus overcoming the insinuations and the falsehoods of the devil. And then afterwards we have these accounts concerning the Lord's doctrine and teaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And following that, we have an account of some of his miracles, his healings. And again we read of the power of the word of the Lord Jesus in the casting out even of devils. But this word that we have in the 32nd verse, concerning the reaction of those in the synagogue at Capernaum, those whom we read were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And again, much is said concerning this, how the blessed Lord went into the synagogues, and how, as we read, he read in the prophet Isaiah, and having quoted those verses from what we know as the opening of chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." After the Lord himself quoted those words, he then fulfilled them in his preaching, in his doctrine, in that way in which the gospel was preached to the poor. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And even there in Nazareth, and we read of how they would have treated him after his sermon, as it were, concerning the Lord's distinguishing grace. But even these who would shortly take him to the brow of the hill upon which their city was builded, yet they, we read, bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And we read also, even in this chapter, concerning this word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was unusually powerful. After we have that account of the devil cast out of the man, we read in verse 36 that they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Well, to these testimonies concerning the preaching, the ministry, and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are other words that are spoken. For instance, both Matthew and Mark record how the people reflected upon this gracious ministry, and how these words of the Lord Jesus had authority. They read that the people were amazed at his doctrine. They were astonished at it, for it is said he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribe. And really, this helps us to understand the nature of this power of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word power that we have in our text, in Luke 4, verse 32, really speaks of authority. And it leads our thoughts, does it not, to the majesty, to the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a contrast to those people who heard, those who were gathered in those synagogues. What a contrast to the preaching and the teaching of those such as the scribes. There are many things that one might say concerning this. Primarily, that the scribes could only teach that which they themselves had been taught, or which their teachers had given to them. They could not speak of themselves. And so they themselves did not have that authority. But the Lord Jesus Christ spake of his own doctrine. He spake of those things concerning himself. And he spake those words that his Father had given him to speak. The Lord Jesus received his ministry from his Father. His meat and his drink, he said, was to do the will of his Father, which had sent him. And all things that the Father had showed unto him, those things were to be revealed to those whom he taught, his disciples, and the people who followed him. And again, whereas the scribes and the Pharisees, and doubtless others, taught those things which were of men, alas, that they had left off largely to teach the law of God, and now only taught their own opinions, only taught those doctrines of men, which made the commandments of God of none effect. And so it was not that certain word, that sure word of prophecy. But now we find the dear Lord Jesus coming into the synagogues, Nazareth, Capernaum, and opening the word, and preaching from Isaiah, and preaching from Israel's history, as recorded in the sacred oracles, and preaching primarily concerning himself, who was and is the Word of God. And what comparison may be drawn between the vain imaginings of the Pharisees and the scribes and the eternal, sure word of God, even as received from the lips of him who was and is the incarnate word? No wonder that the people were astonished, that they noted that he spake with authority, and that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had this authority also, that his word was effectual, that it was mighty. Our thoughts turn to what John records in the 11th chapter of his Gospel, following the raising of Lazarus from the tomb. We read towards the end of that account how many of the Jews which had come to comfort Mary believed on the Lord Jesus. But we read also that some went to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And then this, what we might say, is a rather pathetic word concerning the weakness of man, that the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered themselves together a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Think of it, the raising of a man from the dead, from the very tomb, and all that the Pharisees and the chief priests can think of is how to oppose him. And a man who should thus raise one who had been dead unto life. But what do we read concerning those chief priests and Pharisees? That they took counsel that they might put him to death. Well, how solemn and how sad thus to reflect on the folly of man. That they question among themselves, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." And you will doubtless remember also as to how officers were sent to apprehend the Lord Jesus. But they could not take him. Rather they say, never man spake like this man. And this particular power and authority is very evident in what we have read concerning the Lord Jesus. Because Luke includes in this section of his gospel many miracles that only the Lord Jesus could perform. Now we understand that in those days there were those who did perform miracles after a fashion. But the Lord Jesus Christ surpassed them all, and especially in the power and authority. For in this very matter of rebuking unclean spirits and in casting out demons or devils, it is because only the Lord Jesus, up until now, had that power and authority that the people were so amazed and astonished. And they spake of how he was able to thus command the unclean spirits, and they come out. Later, when the Lord sent forth his disciples, he gave them a measure of authority also over unclean spirits, that they also might cast them out of those who were so afflicted. But we know that they did not have that complete power, because we remember the case of the man who brought his afflicted son at length unto Jesus, saying that his disciples could not cast him out. Now the Lord said, this kind cometh not forth, but by prayer and fasting. And his disciples were not to rejoice, even in that the unclean spirits and the devils were made subject unto them, but rather that their names were written in heaven. And when we consider the great power of the Lord Jesus, we do not need to rest even in that case of the casting out of demons. Because did we not read at the start of chapter 4, of the Lord's solemn contest with the devil himself, even Satan? And as we are speaking of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely this is a very fitting illustration of that power and authority. And how the Lord Jesus answered Satan by the written words of God. How the devil makes his blasphemous suggestions. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And what do we read? Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And this power and authority that belonged to the one who truly was the Son of God was set forth in the written word, that which he himself had caused by the Spirit to be set down by Moses, in that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And how the Lord replied to Satan after his suggestion that he should worship him, and how he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And later, when Satan even attempts to use scripture himself for his own wicked ends, misquoting from Psalm 91, concerning the giving of his angels charge over thee, and how in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. We read that Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then we read that when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And therefore the Lord Jesus had proved that power and authority. We may say the power of the word that came forth from his gracious lips, and the power also of that word that was contained in the scriptures, those scriptures which are the word of Christ. But such power as Satan himself had to flee from it. Although note that we read that he departed for a season, for truly his temptations and his testings of the beloved Son of God were not yet at an end. But then we read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And again, just as the Father had given him that commission, just as the Father had given him that work that he should do, so the dear Lord Jesus was equipped for that work. He was anointed unto it by the blessed third person of the Godhead, even by the Spirit. And so thus commissioned, thus equipped, thus anointed, the Lord Jesus did return, as we read in the power of the Spirit, into Galilee. And then we read, do we not, of his teaching in the synagogue, being glorified of all. And how all did bear him witness. Because these gracious words of which they speak, the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, show that his word did not only have that bare, almighty power and authority that is proper to God, but it was clothed with that compassion. It was clothed with the love that he bare to his people. And so, although they were mighty and powerful words, they were also gracious words, and words that his own people would love, that his own dear sheep would hear, and they would know his voice, and they would follow him. Well, we have spoken of this ministry of the Lord Jesus, that ministry that was known in Galilee during the days of his flesh while upon earth. Those scenes that are narrated for us from Nazareth and from Capernaum, and how the people were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. But one might ask, what of today? What of our own case? And is there a continuing blessing in this word of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we know that where the word of a king is, there is power. And the Lord Jesus Christ is king over his dear people. He is their sovereign. He is the captain of their salvation. And we may venture to suggest that even now, where the Lord Jesus is known to minister by his Spirit to his people, there is still this blessed consequence. There is still this love and admiration to a gracious Saviour. And from time to time, perhaps we, even in our poverty, even in our low estate, may be, as it were, astonished at this doctrine, at this gospel of redeeming grace. We too may testify that his word, the word of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, was and is with power. Well, perhaps we have already explained a little of this by speaking of the written word, those passages from Deuteronomy that the Lord quoted in the time of his temptation in the wilderness. But what do we read concerning the whole of Holy Scripture? Well, remember how Paul was writing to the Colossians, and particularly in the third chapter, how he was speaking of conduct of the Lord's people, one towards another. And he speaks of the peace of God ruling in their hearts, and how they are called in one body. And then he says in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And he continues, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." But in that little passage, this exhortation, that the word of Christ, he says, should dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. We might ask, what is this word of Christ? Well, clearly it is the scriptures, because then he speaks of the teaching and admonishing one another, particularly from the Psalms, described as psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so if this word of Christ, which is the word of God, and we must remember that at that time they did not have complete Bibles as we do now. The New Testament scriptures had not yet been completed, and they did not therefore have what we call the whole canon of God's written word. But what they did have, perhaps what we now call the Old Testament scriptures, those scriptures were to be prized. They were to be read. They were to be, we might say, ingested. Because the word of Christ was to dwell richly, even within them. And so it was to be their meat and their drink. Thy words, as one said of old, were found, and I did eat them. And he did esteem them more than his necessary food. And so, this indwelling, but it is the word of Christ. And it is therefore as though the Lord Jesus did speak himself, but now not audibly, not with his voice, but by his written word. And he speaks again by his Spirit. Because just as we say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one from whom this word has come, so we say that it is the Holy Spirit who inspired that word. All scripture we read is given by inspiration of God. And that breathing out, for so the word signifies, was by the third person of the Trinity. And those holy men of old, who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They caused that these things should be written. And therefore all that is written in the scriptures is that which the Holy Ghost has designed should be written for the benefit of the Lord's dear people. Well, this is the same word of Christ. But just as the Holy Spirit inspired it, so he must apply it. Because, alas, the word is but a dead letter unless it come with that same life and power that the word of the Lord Jesus came to those in the synagogues at Nazareth and at Capernaum. And so now, when we take this word of God, and when we read it, do we not do so, knowing our poverty of spirit, knowing the folly and darkness of our own minds, knowing our great need of instruction? And oh, what a need therefore there is, that the Spirit of Christ take of the things of Jesus and show them even unto us. Sometimes we think of this simple illustration of how if we are to read in this blessed book, as in any other book, we need light upon the page that we might see that which is written. for otherwise we shall not discern the letters and the words. Well, so it is spiritually. And just as we are reading in the natural sense, and we need light, whether it be natural light from the sun or some artificial light, that we might read with comfort. So in our souls, when we read the Word of God, what a need there is of the illumination of the Holy Spirit, light shining upon the sacred page. And then we shall understand it. Then the Word shall come to our profit. And what a mercy if it shall come with that power that those hearers of old in the synagogues experienced, those who were astonished at the doctrine of the Lord Jesus, for they say his word was with power. And again, some might ask, how are these things so? How are we to know them? We are perhaps conversant with the Holy Scriptures. We have read them many times in the home. We have heard them read at chapel. We have heard many verses preached. But this power, this particular illumination, well, the Lord Jesus Christ explained to his disciples concerning this power. And it comes because of who he is as the Son of God. Remember how the Lord taught concerning himself as the bread of life and as the bread of God which came down from heaven. But how the people, in that passage in John chapter 6, said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And how the Lord spake of himself as one who, through his sacrifice, through his flesh and his blood, would provide that bread of which partaking his people would never hunger, and how, believing on him, his people would never thirst. But these things concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are to do with that which he has spoken. And therefore he says, having spoken of this eating of his flesh, that is, we understand by faith, and this drinking of his blood, faith feasting upon the dear Lamb of God, once slain at Calvary. Well, he says, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. But a little later in that passage, he says this, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And this is the essence of the preaching of the gospel, because it centers in Christ, and it centers upon his person and his work. And therefore, when the gospel is preached, Christ is preached. And those words in which the Lord Jesus is magnified and exalted are these words that come through his own doctrine, that doctrine that concerned himself. Thus, this truth is evermore put to the test. The flesh profiteth nothing, but it is the Spirit that quickeneth. And saith Christ, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And again, just a few verses later, after the solemn account of many of his disciples who went back and who walked no more with him, and how Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? We read the response of Simon Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? thou hast the words of eternal life. These words that are spirit and are life. And he says, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. This doctrine and this word that was and is with power. Well, it is doubtless a mighty word when it comes applied by the Spirit to the Lord's dear people. But we may consider that might and that power in those various instances in which it is known and which it is felt. And in particular, to mention but two. We have seen how the Lord's word was almighty, in that it overcame demons, unclean spirits, and the devil himself. But it continues to be mighty in overthrowing that opposition of the evil one. And we bless God that it is so, for otherwise how would we have been helped in our helplessness? How would we have been illumined in our great darkness? How would any of the Lord's people been brought out of the palace of the strong man armed? How would they have been delivered from the kingdom of Satan? How could they have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son? And again, the Lord's people testify. How are they to be released from their bondage? How are they to be delivered from their snares? How are they to be taken from their hardness of heart, from their rebelliousness, from their fears and unbelief? It is by the word of Christ made powerful and effectual. And we do feel our rebellious hearts rising up against him. And we do feel that great weakness. The Lord himself said to his disciples, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we feel, as I believe we quoted earlier in prayer, like the psalmist who said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. But then he said, quicken thou me according unto thy word. And this mighty power is so needful, day by day, hour by hour. It is needful to cut through our infirmity and our weakness and our slumberings and our unfaithfulness. But we read, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When that day of power is known in the soul, then it is as light shining in the dungeon. It is indeed as life from the dead. And it is a bringing out of the prison. Our soul, saith the psalmist, is escaped out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. And I wonder if some of us can testify of how the Lord's word has been made mighty and powerful, and it has come with that authority. It has proved to be light in our seasons of darkness. And it has been an opening of the prison to them that are bound. And all those gracious effects of the ministry of the dear Redeemer. But we may think of this power and authority in another aspect also. That other thing that we feel often, our weakness. We have spoken of the weakness of the flesh, but we think perhaps of how powerful and how sweet and comforting the Lord's word was, even to the Apostle Paul in his weakness. When we read, there was given unto him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, as he says, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And Paul besought the Lord three times that thorn in the flesh might depart from him. But what did the Lord say to him? As we find it written in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And as a result of that, Paul says this, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that power of Christ, that strength that was perfected in his bodily weakness, but it is that power of Christ, he says, resting upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For this strength that is made perfect in weakness, this all-sufficient grace, but how does it come to us? Is it not through the promises? Is it not through the comforting word? Is it not through that word of the gospel, spoken in love and compassion? Perhaps some, if not many of us, have proved even that word. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We have no doubts concerning our weakness. We are taught continually of it. We feel it increasingly, day by day, year by year. But we desire this, that grace that is all-sufficient, and that strength that is continually fulfilled, and as he says, made perfect in that weakness. And what a mercy if we can come in with the apostle and say, when I am weak, then am I strong. But we are strong because of Christ, because of who he is and what he hath done. And these things that are known through his word, that word of the gospel, and this word that blessedly does come with power. Alas, that at times we fear it does not come as often as it should do, because of our folly and our unbelief. But those times when it does come with power, those seasons and occasions when we remember the verse, when we remember perhaps the sermon, we remember the occasion, those blessed seasons in the courts of the Lord. And the word was sweetly applied to our conscience, and it did come with that unction and with that power to the soul. And I trust we do cling to those blessed memories, and I trust we do thank the Lord for them, and that we do raise our Ebenezers and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That we have found especially this, the Lord's great mercy, his compassion to a poor sinner. When we feel our sins and our iniquities going over our heads, when we cry out that we are sunk in deep waters, then this taste of his mercy and his loving kindness and his mercies which are above the clouds that reach even unto the heavens, and then that grace is sufficient, and those mercies sustain us and they uphold us. That word is a word upon which we are made to hope, especially when it is remembered to us. It is then that Christ is made most precious, and the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. This blessed doctrine of an almighty and a compassionate Saviour, one who cleanses the leper, one who casts out devils, one who heals the sick, yea, one who raises the dead. And this word that comes with authority, the word that comes with sweetness, the word that is mighty and effectual. We read, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Austin will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And Sunday school will be on Zoom this afternoon. God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach to us on Friday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening at 7:15, and the St. Ives friends hold their Thanksgiving service on Thursday evening at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led. Oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016.
Thank you.
do desire to be led, for we have no strength or wisdom to come of ourselves. But, O take us each gently by the hand, and lead us on softly, and bring us to our desired haven. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.